around the third of the Animamim. So the Animamim reads Animamim Bemuna Shalema Shabor Yisbar Shemo in Guf V'lo Yasigu Masiya Guf Ve'in Lo Shum Dinyon Klal. I believe with a full belief, again, not knowledge, with knowledge, but knowledge that we can understand, called Muna Shlema, we mentioned earlier on, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has no body, and no bodily attributes or effects are shayach to mention when it comes to God, and there's nothing at all similar to this lack of corporal existence other than God. That is the animam number three. It happens to be very much overlapping with number two, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of yichud in its oneness of God. And again, because there is no body, there are no parts, physical parts. That is part of the reason why Hashem is one. There are no physical parts to Him that connect together. So Hashem having no guf, therefore, as we see in this animamin, ties back into animamin number two. That he's the essence of oneness. He's the only thing that really is one. Everything else is not comparable to his oneness. And because there is no body, and because he's one, there are no limitations to God. Even Malachim, who we usually look at as being junior versions of not really like God, but similar in structure, it's not true, says Rapinkus. They actually have a very, very one that cannot be perceived by mankind, a very called dak. A chomer modaka is a very, very light, thin, hard to perceive by us. It's not possible to see by us physicality. However, our neshamas are the closest thing we can find to there being no actual form. I'll read to you a piece of our pinkus inside. When we describe Hashem as having no body, we're not saying His body is not like our body, our physical, very physical body. That's not what God is. I'm not saying that. Even the smallest, thinnest membrane, God does not have. Again, that's what the angels have. God doesn't even have that. If you want to really internalize and understand it, concretize it. You can't use the malach as an example. We can compare it to our life. Not our body, but our soul. Our neshama, we see no physicality to our neshama, but yet we know it exists. Of all hikayemis, anu mitbatim v'omrim. We express ourselves. We say ani roeh, I can see. Ani shomea, I can hear. Ma'wa ani hazeh. What is I? Who am I? I'm not my body. When a person's body passes, leaves, they're still around. They're in the world. Maybe olam ha'emes. The neshama, the nefesh, that has no chomer. Ein bo shum chomer. Ani, I have no chomer at all. And that's what we describe over here when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu in a similar fashion. Again, that's why the second and third yisodos that Ramosh Shapiro brings down are very intertwined, very connected. Ramosh Shapiro, when he discusses the Ani Mamins, he actually puts the second and the third Ani Mamins together in the same discussion, the same piece. Because both of them are proving Hashem's echad, Hashem's oneness. Because there is no physicality to God. Because he's not made of any parts, that is what really makes him completely one. I'll read just a piece to put this together from Moshe Shapira. Mvuar shemitzvot Hashem echad. When we say Hashem is one, miskayemes b'dafka yidei shnei ikarim. That's dafka. We learn that now. We see that from these number two, ikar number two, ikar number three. Yisod Hasheni, Yichud. Hashem is oneness. Moshe Vayel El. Yisod Hashlishi, Shlilas Hagashmut, which is that we negate any physicality in connection with Hashem. Both those are necessary to define a Kodesh Baruch Hu as Hashem Echad. Emunas Achduso, the Shlilas Musage Aguf. Again, the belief in His oneness and negating any physical nature to God whatsoever. Kevan Shekol Moros Aguf Heim Stira LeEchad. Since any physical experience would be a stira to Hashem's oneness. Now, why would that be the case? Because again, a guf means you're parts of something. Your physicality would limit you. Hashem to be one and His entirety being all one part means there is nothing that's limiting. There's no limitations. There's no physicality to God. These two pieces, again, Hashem is not made up of parts. He's the essence of oneness, and there is no physicality, is what makes Hashem Echad in its truest form. Again, we can only describe with our senses things that we have a kesher with. meaning if we have no interaction or kesher or connection to something, then we cannot describe it with our senses. With things that are beyond our senses, we cannot grasp. So Rav Pinkus over here brings down, he says, we should totally change the kesher imam mitzius shel boris barach. If someone wants to claim they have a kesher with Hashem, havihu kofer b'yesh me'ayin, you are denying God's creating something from nothing. Kofer bo kivyachol, you're denying God. Now, why would it be saying I have a kesher with Hashem's existence? Again, I may have a kesher with Hashem, but Hashem's existence, I understand, I can grasp Hashem, I can grasp existence, that would be kofer. Why? You're kofer v'echad yachid miuchad, you're kofer in Hashem's oneness and singularity. Kofer v'yichud amiti, you're kofer in what it means to have the true sense of being one of God. Had you known God, if you understand God's existence, then you would be God. What does that mean? Mikevan shehu hayodea vu hayadua vu adea atma. Since God is known and is knowledge itself, as he quotes the Rambam with also the Torah, God is knowledge. Therefore, God and his knowledge are one. As if you had knowledge of God, if you understood what that meant, that understood God's existence, again, not that he exists, but you understood existence, then how you see, you would be him. Because God and his knowledge are one. And if you had the knowledge of God as well, then you would be God. And therefore, you can't be. If you think that you have that knowledge, then you would be a kofir. You would be a heretic. We don't need to understand. We accept them without complete understanding of them. Since knowledge of God is God, meaning to understand, and not that he exists, but to understand his existence, would be him, because he and his understanding are all one and the same. So if you would claim that you understand it as well, that would make you him. As he ma'isali, as a day shalo, ha'isi hu, if I had his understanding, if I understood him in his essence, in his form, then I would be him. And therefore we know that a person cannot truly comprehend anything other than that God does things in the world, but not how God's essence actually works. Now, because Hashem cannot be split up, what that means is we can't understand even a little bit of God. Because if you understand a little bit of God, as I mentioned last time, since God is infinite, if you touch infinite, then you are part of infinite. Since God is not broken different parts to him, he's one being, he's one entity. And if you could understand any part of God whatsoever, then you would understand everything about God. Since no part of God is separate from another part. And therefore, any understanding of any piece of God, of his existence whatsoever, again, not that you don't believe in him or you know exists, but if you think you understand his existence, it means you understand everything about God, because no part of God is separate than a different part of God. And therefore, we can't understand even one part of God. Rav Pinkus goes on to explain, based on this, we have no grasp of Hashem's essence. We said earlier in Ikar Sheni, which was, again, the idea of God's oneness, machriach as Ikar Shlishi. The idea of God's oneness necessitates that there is no physical body to God. Kevin Shehu v'daito kilomar yedias ato, since he and knowledge of him and his knowledge ze'echa, that's all one the same. There are no compartments to God. Because Baruch yodea es atmo lo biyedias shnidels min, Hashem knows himself, but not in an idea, not in a knowledge that is distinct and separate from him. It is part of him. Hu v'daito echad, he and his knowledge are one and the same. If I would know God, again, Hayiti Hu, I would be God. Ain Pashim is that nothing is more simple than that. Again, not that I understand what it means deeply, but on a simple level, it seems very obvious. I don't need to picture it and paint a picture for you. It's simple. Again, since he and his knowledge are one, then knowing him would be him. Because otherwise, you know, you can't know part of him. There are no parts to him, as we said earlier on. He misvaras and old Pashim from the most simple logic, this seems to be, again, very logical. We can understand how God works. Okay, that's God's chesed. That's God's din. That's God's nekama. I could see God's actions in the world. But we see that from the Torah. But we cannot see is God. But this piece is very important, actually, because over here is where Pinkus points out that the philosophers have erred. And I'll explain to you why. Ha-philosophim lo yistabchu be'ikar hazeh el b'yichot shlo. The philosophers did not argue that God is not understandable. They appreciated that point. That God, you can't understand what God, you know, the essence of God. They appreciated the point as well, the philosopher. That wasn't where they got stuck on.
The
fact that God is above all of our ability to grasp anything whatsoever, even a small piece of him, that they were Mekabel. They had no problem, the philosophers, understanding that point. Lama, why was that okay? Why could they get that piece? Very important idea here. Kizel lo mechayiv shum davar. That demands nothing of a person. If you believe that to be the case, demands nothing of you. I don't have to change my life around because of it. I can be the same me I always was and believe in an intellectual fashion that I can't chop God, I can't understand God, that God is not corporeal, God is not something that has parts to it, it's not physicality, it's beyond my grasp. The philosophers can accept that. You know why? It demands nothing from your behavior, just an intellectual, separate from you piece of knowledge. Aval. But the chiddush of what Judaism and what the philosophers couldn't take, not only is God no physicality to him, but he also is kol yachol, he's all capable. The kemoshu yachol lifol im gvul, just like God can act within boundary, he can put boundaries to his behavior. He also can act beyond the system. He can act within the system, like we call that nature. People think that's nature. That's actually God. It's working within the system we understand, called nature. He can choose also to go above and beyond the system. Zelo so serious or pinkus. That's not a contradiction in terms. So yodea ma'an osim, gamechol nisho sano. He knows what we do. He can punish us. Yacharim zel hazrim esadam b'vridim shalano. He also makes our blood, our veins pump blood and our body function. So while he's beyond the scope of man's ability to understand anything, and he's able to see things and do things in a much more global manner, he also is pumping our blood for us. He's beating our heart for us. This is where the philosophers couldn't take it. Because that would mean that God has a very important role and we have to behave in a certain way in order to really appreciate the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. That would require us to act in a certain way. And that where the philosophers drew the line, they were not interested in that at all. Rapikas goes on, Lo'or Dvar Manal, based on what we said just now, Anach Duchlin Lavin Eich Chayu Bali Avodah Be'avar. It's a little depressing this part because we're going to see how far off we are from this. But now we understand a little better how the tzaddikim of old live their lives. They lived with these concepts, these ideas entrenched in their mind and their bodies. These concepts were tangible, they were real. They weren't something that was like, you know, limited and stripped from them and maybe surface level like it is for us. When they would start to daven, their heart would be overcome, be filled with this feeling of God around them. Avram hayala geshev lomar baruch shemar v'ayolam lo hayastam milim. When they would approach and say Pesukei Zimra and start off with baruch shemar, blessed is the one who said the world should be v'ayolam, and they picture what that meant to them, what God meant to them. They weren't just words; they were just reading from a script, even though it was a script. Ein sof lachdusa. What they were saying is there is nothing other than God. There's no way to explain His oneness even. That to God's awesomeness, there is no way to measure, and there is no way to split it up and understand piece by piece. And this is what, again, what impacts that thing is closest to me. On one hand, his infinite way is so awesome and impossible for us to appreciate and to relate to him. But he's right in here also. Usually people, kings, are so lofty, the more powerful you are, the less they have to do with the most basic needs of the people, the townspeople around them. They have someone else who's doing that job. But not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lashon Chazal quotes the Yerushalmi in Brachos, Kadosh Baruch Hu nir'eh rachok ve'en k'rov imenu. Hashem seems so far away, as vast and as unattainable his understanding of him is, and yet, en k'rov imenu, there's no thing closer to us than God is. It's these two opposite, seemingly opposite at least, pictures of the creator, of the ruler. On one hand, this masterful, unimaginable, unfathomable being that you cannot put your finger on and can't understand anything about whatsoever his essence. And yet, there's nothing closer to you than God. And those two things seem to be impossible for us because we are limited in understanding of things like God. But for God, nothing is out of the ordinary. Nothing is out of the realm of possibility. And that's why God is able to be this paradox of being so high and impossible for us to even put our, you know, imagine what it's like. Same time, he is one that's beating our heart. He's one that's right next to us at all times. Hashem's malchus is honored only when every other reality outside of him is rejected. Meaning, to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu not having a body and his oneness, anything that you assume could be parallel to God would be a rejection of God. For example, if someone was an Obed Avodah Zarah, You believe in Avodah Zarah. So you believe in a certain God, but you're not negating other gods existing. You know they exist also. That you're a polytheist. There are many gods. This is the God that I serve. So that's how they viewed the world. When we believe in one God, that any other existence outside of God would be tantamount basically to Avodah Zarah for us as Jews. And therefore, the only way to truly make a Kadosh Baruch Hu a melech in the world, this is what Moshe Shapiro brings down, is when you reject any existence outside of him. Doesn't mean I don't exist. I do exist. I exist because of God, not despite God. I have no strength to my own. It's only due to God. And this is actually the roots of Moshe Shapiro. This is why there's a chiyuv to destroy a malik. We have this in the Torah, this focus. We talk about this all the time. There's a need to destroy a malik. Why is that such a necessity? Why can't I just kind of go our separate ways? A malik lives in the world, and we live in our lives, and there are arch enemies, but we'll go away from them. We'll protect ourselves. We're not going to involve ourselves. Because a malik represents everything that we're describing, against everything that we're describing. He represents, and then even if you look at the words describing the war with a malik in the Chumash, I'll read the word inside. It says, Kiyad al keska mechama l'Hashem b'malik. That yad al keska, that this hand is on the case of Hashem. What does case mean? It means the word kisei. It means the throne or the chair of Hashem. So why is it written as case? Why is there an aleph missing? The word kisei is with an aleph. Because it's yad al keska mecham l'Hashem b'malik. Why are we describing Hashem's throne as being a case in describing the fight against the malik? Because as long as the malik is in the world, Hashem's kisei, his throne, is not complete. Why? Because Amalek comes from Esav, the descendant of Esav. And Esav represents, and I'll show you right now inside some lines of Rosh Peter as he's quoting the Maharal, Amalek represents the possibility of existence outside of God. Ki Esav eino kmo shar chutim. Esav, again, Amalek's grandfather, Esav was not like other sinners. Other sinners do not leave the realm of heaven. They're not exiting stage left under Hashem's Shechina. They have an area. There's some area where they're weaker in that they're not able to behave properly. But Esav exited stage left. He rejected the idea of God. Again, if someone's weak in certain areas and they make certain mistakes, they sin. So that person has an area where he's having a hard time, accepting Hashem Shechina, but he's not walking away from God's Baruch Hu entirely. But that's what Esav did. He has no portion of Hashem at all. When Esav went off and became Esav that we know from the Chumash, that day he committed 5 crimes. And the Rashi quotes it, and Rambam Bava Basra quotes it, and my Ral over here is the Chiddush HaGadol and Bava Basra of Tezayim Abiz, that he committed 5 crimes. And the number 5, by the way, also brought down in the Maharal, that represents a certain completeness. It represents all the parts of the body, of the soul, all those parts. He nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. He rejected all those parts. And Moshe Shapiro goes on. Me'az ve'ad hayom zaru shal Esav misnagei l'marechet shal kedusha. Esav, and in turn Amalek, is the battle. It is against everything that kedusha stands for. Fisha Nemar the Rivka, as it says, Rivka, which was told when she was pregnant, she felt her body reacting when she would walk by Beis Avodah Zarah. She was told by the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever Ulo Om Mil Om Yematz, which means Kishazek Kam Zenofel. Mar Megillah explains that one of them, either Esav or Yaakov, when one is up, the other one will be down. If there is an Amalek in the world, that means that we are down. They're not destroyed. That means it's like a seesaw. They're up, we are down. Hashem's kisei cannot be completed, because when Hashem is in oneness and Hashem has no body, that means that nothing in the world can be outside of God. But a Amalek doesn't believe in that. Esav did not believe in that. It's impossible that Yaakov and Esav would both be at the heights of their greatness. If one is on top like a seesaw, then the other one has to be below, has to be destroyed. If you want Hashem's malchus to be revealed in the world, it has to be only through the rejection and destruction of Esav. They are omdim keneged achduso malchus Yisbarach. Esav is standing against the oneness of God, against the idea that Hashem was in everything in life. The Moshe goes on. Etzem kiyumo shel Esav hu birchaso, when when Yitzhak blesses Esav, he says, Al Charbacha Tichya, you will live by the sword. But the Peshat Moshe brings down, it doesn't mean you'll live by the sword, Al Charbacha. Ad Kama Shu Yotzer Churban Ba'olam Kach Yesh Lo Kiyum. Esav's existence, and really a Amalek's existence, is when you create a Charbacha, a Churban in the world. When there's a Churban in the world, that's where there's a place for Esav. When you create rejection, destruction, what does it mean, destruction? It means the absence of God. When you find a way to penetrate in the world and show and try to show that God's not here, that God doesn't play a role in this piece at all, that's al charbacha techia. You live off of that. When you're machrev ba'olam, that's what gives you chayim, that's what gives you chiyus. Yim ba'olam banui v'nira k'moshu tzarech la'aros, and if the world looks like it should look, or is that shlilas chayim shal Esav, that would be negating Esav's life and his existence. And therefore, again, God's oneness means that there's no area that is removed from God. Because God is not a physical thing that's limited. Everything is God. And that's the importance of how the Jewish people live their lives. That's why it says, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Dafka Israel is able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. It's completely that everything is a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are the ones who are able to make Shema Yisrael. You make, but Israel, your outlook on life. The antithesis of Esav is what makes Hashem Echad. There's actually a lach I was reading today, which is recorded here as well in Ramosh Shapira, about if you are partners with a goy. Talks about a lach of you're partners with a goy, because on one hand, a goy can make a shvua, and he promises something in the business deal. And in a shvua, he might say, it says, lach is mishtak fim shim shemayim im davar achar. He might say, by God and something else, and when he makes a promise and makes a shvua. It's not really a avodah zarah, but you're not supposed to allow those statements to be made in your presence, certainly. Now, it's not a avodah zarah, but we're not people who allow for, who accept the idea that anything can be in the same sentence as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're giving something else, mitzius, reality, just besides God. When you say, I swear by God, that's all you have to say. That's everything. And then you say, and by something else, that would be meaning that there's something else that exists outside of God. And therefore, the author of this the Sefer, Moshe Shapira, yeah, it's not Moshe Shapira, it's the one who wrote the Sefer that he put together called Re'e Emunah. Let's get the name so I can quote Moshe Omrom. But I'm not sure exactly who it was that wrote this together, so I feel terrible. Doesn't say the name, at least not in the first part of the Sefer. He says the following point, this will end with this point over here. He points out that this is what happened in the generation of Enosh. Enosh is where the nations of the world in the beginning of creation, soon after creation, in Sefer Bereishis, started to make a mistake. And the Rambam brings this down in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah in the Mishnah Torah. And just as an aside, the Mishnah Torah is actually starting 2 days from now, the cycle of a parak a day from the Mishnah Torah itself. And you finish the whole Mishnah Torah in 3 years. For those who want to jump on the bandwagon, it's a very good day to do so. He points out, Shatov Amr, the people made a mistake in the time of Enosh. They said, Shekachavim v'agalgalim ru'im heim l'shavcham l'ufaram l'chalik b'nem kavod. They felt it's worthy to give the stars and the planets, praise them, glorify them, give them honor. Bazelu husaru agoyim, sholich lo kavod l'malachim l'chokavim, kevin she'ein lehem es gilui ha'achdo. Since the nations of the world don't understand the oneness of God like the Jewish people do. That's why Shema Yisrael, only Yisrael knows Hashem Echad. Only we know Hashem is Echad. They don't get that point. They believe it, that Hashem gave power to the stars. And they serve the stars because they represented the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the mistake that they made eventually with the Avodah Zarah was they stopped serving the stars for God. They served the stars for the stars. But for us Jews, the stars have nothing to them at all. There's nothing to the stars. It's all God. That's the ultimate oneness that we believe in the world. That's how it works in the world. So the recap we had is now, the second and the third animamim discussed Kadosh Baruch Hu has no goof. And Hashem is the essence of oneness. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Only the Jewish people have the ability to represent and understand that Hashem is one. Every other being in the world sees the Kadosh Baruch Hu giving power and koach to other constellations and sources in the world, and they view that, therefore, has a little, not of independence, but it has its own power. And we as Jews don't see that. Hashem Echad, nothing in the world exists without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is not something you can put your finger on, something we can understand exists. We can see his actions in the world. We cannot see him at all. There's no way for us to see him. But we're okay with that. And we're comfortable with that as well. Because we understand that a world of perfection is a world that finite beings cannot comprehend, they cannot completely understand. It's up to us to rid the world of a Amalek and the philosophies of a Amalek, that there are things that are independent of God, that exist outside of God, like Esav felt, like Amalek felt, and as long as that is the case in the world, people feel that way, then kiyad al keiska. It's not Hashem's kisei. His throne is not complete. Our job is to make sure that we at least see that Hashem Yisrael, Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that we see Hashem's oneness in the world and make sure that stays true to us and to our families.